Alam nang insiza.
Another week, another Shady podcast. Welcome to the show. I'm Waras the Shady Lurker. This week, not with PH. I replaced him. I have a new co-host because I want to be an entrepreneur and I want to be a business owner. So I went to fetch the expertise at Legends Barbershop. Sheldon Thatchell in the house, Mr. Yeah. Legend himself, Legend Sheldon. Exist. Yes. Give some steroids there, bro.
Yeah, well, no, thanks for having me.
Thanks so you sure you want to be an entrepreneur? You're like one of them. I want to build a legitimate business, Sheldon, and take over Africa, dog. You show me what to do. The tender thing isn't working out for me, and PH has been promising to put me on, and I'm still blowing. It's not working out, dog. But you look amazing, bro. Nah, like, what's going on?
Nah, thank you, man. I think it's just been that whole journey of trying to figure yourself out and be much more, I say, physical and mentally fit. You understand? I think I'm on a journey just trying to be that.
How closely related are the two? Because, look, I've known Sheldon for years, and he didn't always look like this. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's a big guy. He's tall.
Yeah.
But it's fine. We're bras. The man was fat.
No, I was fat.
Yeah.
I was fat. You were, no, I was weighing, just think about it. I was weighing 128 kg.
Yes, like with your frame.
Kg. Yeah, 128 kg.
But stomach,
everything.
Back, everything crazy, was fat.
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy. I mean, like now I'm weighing like around 89.
What?
Yeah.
Never.
Serious.
Because you're much taller than me. Now, I weigh like 79, right? I'm also fat. I'm like fat skinny.
Yeah, so you can imagine like in a space of a year and a half maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just been on that.
Only?
It's been... What
clicked for you? Because I saw obviously your posts on Instagram, right? And you know how it is, man. I feel like a lot of the time people take on the fitness journey and the health thing because it's a vibe, you know, for likes. It's like people are like social gymmers, social dieters, and social lifestyle changes, you know, running clubs. You know who you are. you did it alone.
Yes.
Yes. What sparked that change? What was it?
And it's so interesting that you say I did it alone because that's been the journey. It's basically being able to figure yourself out and understand what do you want for your life?
Yes.
How would you like people to see Sheldon? How would you like to show up in the world as Sheldon?
Yes.
And that for me just triggered because you know, I took that before picture and I was like, do I really want to show up like this? You understand?
Yeah.
Big belly. I'm not saying there's anything wrong about it, but... Is that
but
the
not
best
for you.
Version I
yeah.
can be?
100%.
Is that
and really? Also you were like, you were deck. You know, like you had muscles. I mean, I remember the first time I came to the office.
Yeah.
Remember, I came early in the morning, like 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Sheldon was already there from like 6 because he was training. There's a gym at the offices.
Yeah.
So you were in the gym. You know what I mean? So it's not like gym was a new thing for you. But I completely, like the journey to get a six pack is impossible for most of us. So,
but if you think about this, it's like everything relates. You understand?
Yeah.
And one thing that I've noticed is that I can, like, since I've taken on this journey, my entrepreneurial journey has skyrocketed
100%.
Tremendously.
Yes. Because you apply the same
mindset compared to what I do on a daily basis. Mm. Like, you know, in order to look a certain way, you need to do certain things consistently and without fail.
Yes.
I mean, like, whether it's waking up, like, my routine is waking up 4 a.m., going to run at 4:30 a.m., and applying that same thing each and every day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to make excuses to say, you know what, I've reached this pinnacle, but you have to ask yourself, what's the next journey? What's the next thing for you?
Yes, where instead of like basically saying, you know what, I'm nice now. I can start waking up at 9.
And
I've got a business that's running. You know what I mean? Like you become complacent.
No, that's so true. Mm. That's so true. And for me, I think my why has shifted.
Mm.
Because my why has been about, my why used to be about Sheldon and Sheldon this and Sheldon that.
Mm.
But now my why has shifted to the people that's actually looking up to Sheldon.
100%,
the kid that's in El Dorado Park that says, you know what, I like to be like Sheldon one day. I want to be the type of role model that Sheldon is.
And I mean, besides just the entrepreneur journey, it's that commitment to fitness, health, etc.
Of course.
The lighties mustn't grow up and say, I also want to have a fat stomach.
No.
Yeah, no, that's not the one. Yeah. Eldos doesn't need that.
Eldos don't need it.
There's enough of that. Yeah, to call out your own journey.
Hey, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But I think once you're on that whole purpose-driven journey, then you understand it is more to life than just yourself. It's more to life than just wanting to enrich yourself in so many ways. And whether it is self-enrichment from a monetary point of view,
but
there has to be some bigger meaning towards life, where life becomes much more about a calling than about social media likes and then about social media following.
Because when you're waking up at 4 a.m. bra by yourself and you're going to train, there's no likes there.
No, there's nothing.
Unless, I don't know if you're going to make one of those Ashton Hall challenges where you start us with the 4 a.m. wake up, 4:15, put your face in
the ice bowl.
Then the first thing he does, he stands in front of the mirror, he says, haircut, freshen up the line, you know. Put your face in aftershave.
But some people do it specifically just for social media.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, it's fine. It's people have different reasons as to why they do certain things. But I feel that the purpose has to translate to what you do on a daily basis. And each and every day when you wake up and you ask yourself, what am I doing? What am I trying to achieve? Is it about just achieving that next big break of getting 100,000 or million or whatever it is? Or are you really trying to impact people's lives holistically? And I think once you're able to figure that out yourself, and once you're able to step into that and say, you know what, I want to be able to do that. And in order for me to do that, these are the steps that I need to sacrifice certain things in order for not only my life to become better, but for so many other people out there.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I'm sad that PH is not here, but I think when he saw what you look like on social media, he said, nah, I'm not going to pull up. He's like, I know. It's not going to work. Nah, I'm joking. PH has actually been, and I'm inspired by it. Because you see, that year and a half actually has to pause. So when you're in month 3, month 4, month 5, Ebra, you don't see the results. You see them. But I might still look at you and say, Sheldon looks the same because I see you all the time, right? And PH is somewhere in that journey where when he started and he said to me, nah, we were in Cape Town, 2023 December. So not this December, the previous December. And we left Pola. We went to Andicho. And we bought like 10 pizzas.
Yes.
Right? Because we were buying for the whole crew.
Yes.
We bought the 10 pizzas, but then he's like, nah, yo, I'm hungry. Let's blow them. Let's eat. First, we chowed, bro. We maybe smashed like 2-3 pizzas by ourselves. And he said, this is like the day before New Year's Eve.
Yes.
He was like, this is the last you'll see me.
Yes.
Then I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, nah. Remember when you've got the gigs, when you've got a busy life, You end up falling into that pattern because it's what's convenient. You eat what's moving. You understand? You're getting home 4 a.m. What are you going to eat? And Andicho is the only place that's open in Cape Town at that time. So we were eating pizza. And he literally said to me at that table, you're going to see me this year. What am I going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He was 146 kilos. He's now somewhere like 121.
Wow.
So he's lost like 25. But like I say,
that's crazy.
He wants to get to like a 105 or whatever.
Yes.
And if you look at PH now,
yes,
I can see the difference because I was sitting eating the pizza with him.
That's
you know what I mean? And I can see the size that he's lost and how he's starting to get shape. But it's still such a long journey to go for the stomach.
Yeah.
And you know, the things that worry us. You know, we all want a six-pack.
Yeah.
But brah, even if you're making the progress and the arms and the what, if this thing is still here, hey, dog. It's what can actually make you give up. It's so cold, dog. Waking up 4 a.m. now and in the coming months, it's not easy.
Tough.
But the man has been showing up every day. He's burning over 1,000 calories each gym session. He completed High Rocks. Those milestones, you know?
And it piles up. It
piles up. On Saturday, we went to Cotton Fest.
Yes.
And after Cotton Fest, we had to drop someone off in Midrand.
Yes.
And we were moving in two cars. And I'm like, yo, we're out here. Let's go to Greenhouse. Wherever it was. I think Greenhouse or Zoo or wherever we're going.
Yeah.
He's like, no, dog. Cotton Fest and done for me. I'm going to go home.
Wow.
Then I'm like,
wow.
Who are you? You understand what I'm saying? He's like, nah, I got to go to gym in the morning and then church. Boss.
Wow.
The next day, when I was hung over there, I was looking at the Instagram stories. Yes. The man was at gym at like 7 a.m. on Sunday. 1,600 calories, and he went to church afterwards. So it's in like what you're saying about consistency. I just think there's no substitute for that.
No, that's okay. Yeah. That's
I'm still on my journey. I haven't found it yet.
For how long, huh?
For like 5 years, bro. It used to be easier, Sheldon.
Yeah, when I, no, I agree with
when
you.
When I was in school, right, I trained avidly.
Yeah.
I did sports. I boxed.
Yeah,
you understand? I came to Joburg, because I was bored, right? When I came to varsity, I stayed in a commune. I had no bras.
Yes.
So I actually didn't have anything to do. I would go to varsity, and then there was Brixton Boxing Club there.
Yes.
I just learned to walk to Brixton. And those were my bras. The only people I knew, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's like, I was more committed to it because it was my lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then as you become busier and you've got more things to do and you've got more distractions, more money, more choice, more stuff to occupy your mind.
And then it becomes something else.
It falls down the priority list to where it's like, it's actually not high enough to actually make that significant difference.
So
but
true.
As you say.
That's so true. But you can imagine your discipline when you were at the boxing club.
Flat out, boss. I was there every Saturday to get khamur.
Yes.
Because you come there Saturday, it's sparring on a Saturday. Yeah, you moor each other. You could end up boxing with somebody that's advanced.
Yes.
You know, somebody that trains every single day for the past 7 years. But it just so happens, the bell goes, you jump in. You get pliximed, but you're back next week Saturday.
But if you think about it, isn't that how life is?
That's true. Yes, exactly. You don't know what you're going to get. You just have to face it.
You have to. Yeah. So you have to face life head on. And you have to be prepared for it. Because if you're not prepared for it, it's going to come to you, whether in what shape or form.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just have to show up and be our best. Because I used to do boxing.
Mm.
I went from the age of 12 years old.
Mm.
And you learn these type of disciplines. And you never realize that one day you're going to need it as much.
Yeah.
But you just do it because you're in the routine of doing it. I mean, like, you go jog in the morning, but you don't take it as serious. I mean, 12, 13 years old.
Yes, and you have to go do padwerk.
You understand? But then you're busy finding yourself cutting wood and you're doing all of these things.
Yeah.
But eventually, I thank God for those lessons because those are the same lessons that you utilize today.
100%,
The same person that put in that consistent discipline within the lifestyle, the same person that you can say, you know what?
Yes.
I learned that because of that.
Very true. Because I was saying that to my son the other day because he was telling me about math. He's in grade 10, so he had to choose subjects. And he did quite well with his first term report. But obviously, his maths mark, he's not happy with.
Yes.
Right? It's obviously improved. But then he's like, you know, do I really need to do this one? Can I not change to the other one? Whatever it's called. I don't know if it's AP math or what's it called? Math lit.
We used to
have higher grade, standard grade. So essentially, he's like, do I really have to do higher grade? Can I just do standard grade?
Yeah.
And I explained the same thing to him. I said to him that none of the shit that you're doing now makes any sense. You are probably never going to use any of these factorization and all this cuck that you're learning now later on. But the whole idea with it is you need to do it now and you need to do it properly and give it your all. You can't say, let me take the easy one. Because one day, these lessons that you learn now have to make sense. You understand?
Of course.
And if you've given it your best and your mark is still cuck, hey, bruh, no problem. Go to Metzler. I'm not saying you have to do it at this level. There's no wrong answer here. There's no disappointing me. But it's disappointing if you're going to say, you know what, this one is too hard. I see your mark. Yeah. You still passed. Yes, you want it to be better, but I can't control it being better. And saying, in order to push up the mark, let me lower the standard.
But if you think about
it, you know, what the hell is
human,
that?
And exactly to your son, if you think about us humans, we're always looking for the easiest way out.
Short.
We're always looking for what's the most comfortable things to do. What is the things that I don't have to put so much effort in? And that's the reason it exactly to your son, you understand? I mean, like, if you take him upon the path of saying, you know what, do the difficult things. Make sure that difficult things is going to prepare you for the future.
Yeah. And but do them to the best of your ability.
Yes.
Even if you fail.
Doesn't matter if you fail.
Hundreds.
Doesn't matter.
But if it's difficult and you actually do a half job,
then it's like,
you have no one to blame but yourself.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It definitely doesn't make sense. So you know, especially like in today's world, if you look at what social media is painting, that everything comes easy and everything just just overnight, you can just get the body you want. You can just get the money that you want.
You can do all of these
things. But skipping the process, and I think that's where many people fall short, because they don't understand. In order for you to get here, you need to go through that.
100%.
You need to be able to face the demons. You need to be able to face that failures, the setbacks, all of these things. If you're not facing them, then you won't be prepared for what's coming ahead. And you know, the Bible says that whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much, and whoever can be faithful with little can be faithful with much. And now you look at this person's success. You look at Sheldon and you say, Sheldon, are you ever... There's over 74 stores. Mm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
You're a mogul.
You're like this guy. But not understanding that the process of the journey, there's been a 14, 15-year journey that you started and you failed and you're like, you know, people stabbing you in the back and you like still went on. And there has to be some sort of consistent behavior that you had.
And consistent effort shown by you.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well,
because if you think about it, it's like I've seen so many people and I've seen many people like not sticking to one thing.
Mm.
You understand? I mean, like I've seen people just because podcast is hot, now I'm going to jump on podcast.
Yeah.
Just because gymming is hot, I'm going to jump on
Yeah.
So whatever is hot, I want to be there. Whatever is trending.
We go buy the whole range.
He's talking about this. My bra was actually like a close friend of mine. Yeah. You understand? And I had this conversation with him many, many years ago. Like a time when I only had one shop, and this guy would see something happening now, and this thing would be the thing that everyone's making money on, the in thing. And he'd jump onto that. And that thing dies out. And it's jumping on another one. Mm. And it's like there's no consistency. And you ask yourself, what's the story here? Because in order for you to be successful, you need to stick to one thing as much as possible and see how that thing can be able to translate the rest of your journey.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that you're not going to diversify. You are going to diversify, but you have to be able to scale what you have right now. You understand?
And you can't diversify. You know, like you say, if you stick to that one thing and you make that one thing a success.
Yes.
By all means, diversify, because you've proven with this one thing that if you apply the same level of effort, you'll probably find success in the other thing. But I feel like, you know, your example, people want to diversify at the beginning.
Yeah.
Let me someone do everything. And then nothing works. And then you think everything is cuck. But everything is not cuck.
Yeah, it doesn't
work. It's not working because you're giving 20% effort to five different things.
Instead
of 100% effort to one thing.
And you have to be as much diligent as possible in what you do. You understand? So in order to go to the next level, you have to be able to be trusted with that little.
Mm.
With that little, I mean like Sheldon started on the side of the road on his stoop.
Mm.
If he was trusted with that customer, we understand how was he serving that customer? What was he doing during that customer?
Mm.
Because like you, I mean like I never considered myself the best barber. In all honesty, till today, I'm.
Do you feel like there's better barbers?
There's better barbers than me. There's better guys that could do much better haircuts than me.
Mm.
But what stood out for anything else was just being diligent in what you have. And once you diligent in what you have, God is able to bless you and God is able to multiply with what you have, because it comes down to how are you able to serve that thing. And this verse that I like so much, it says whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much.
Mm.
But there's another verse that also says that when I started learning to cut hair, was Colossians 3 verse 23, that says that whatsoever you do, work at it wholeheartedly as for God and not for men. Because you know that your reward comes from God.
Mm.
So that verse for me, the time when I was learning to cut hair, was one of that things where I'm going to do it with excellence, no matter what I do. So I'm just going to put in that extra.
Whether you're cutting on the stoop or you're cutting in
on the stoop, whether I'm cutting wherever, I'm just going to put in that extra effort. Because that extra effort is what most people don't notice. You understand? I mean, like, if you think about it, a normal barber out there will just focus on, you know what, I'm going to make the money, done.
Mm. But let me get done, let me cut the hair, move.
You understand? And I saw what was my unique selling proposition was, how am I able to build a relationship with Waras?
Mm.
Besides the haircut, how am I able to nurture that relationship?
Mm.
So now I'm going to write down, okay, I'm cutting Waras today. This is this is the conversation we're having. So next time Waras would come sit on my chair again, I would make reference to that relationship.
That conversation, notebook, yeah.
And I'll say, you know what? How did the interview go? How did this go? How did that go? Mm. So that little bit effort that you're actually willing to put in, that, and now customers are feeling a sense of belonging to their barber. And I feel that is something that has kept me going ever since.
We're going to be chatting about Sheldon's journey at Legends. Legend Sheldon, in case you didn't know, that's his name on social media, and he is a legend. He's my bra, so at the end of the day, even though I don't cut at Legends because there's no legends near me, you know what I'm saying? But this man, I call him for house calls. I know he'll come to my house and cut my hair. But I'm saving it for my wedding day. We're going to be reading the comments. Please roll the comments. Very fun feature. We watch a video and then we read the comments. And they're usually very funny. How is that, Lapo Wandi? God, I'm
Hey!
Check Jesus. Okay, in the comments they said, yo, at this point, bro can even see 2099. Who else is watching from prison? Who knows? I said, who else is watching on Tuesday? And the post was posted on Friday. Name of the eye drop, please. Go and check if my name is written in paradise. Another one said, for those watching on Sunday morning, please gather here. Bro saw the future. 100%. Thank you, Ketsi, for the meme. Sheldon, you were mentioning earlier, like in terms of legends, right? Mm. You started on the stoop. Mm. I don't think a lot of people know that because the name Legends had rose to prominence when they were already gang stores. Why is that? Is it because, you know, like there was no PR in the beginning? Maybe in your journey you were just still thinking small? Or did you always know from the stoop that, yo, this is how I'm going to franchise this thing, this is how I'm going to brand this thing?
Yeah, no, so I shared with you the story. So basically, back in the El Dorado Park, so how I started on the stoop, my cousin had an internet cafe.
Yeah.
And I would then ask him if I could make use of the stoop to mimic a pop-up barber. Okay. Back then, I was working at the bank and saw it as an opportunity to cut hair on weekends. So I used to cut hair from the age of 14 years old, but I never saw it to be one of my career choices.
Yeah.
Like I enjoyed it much more as a hobby than anything else.
Yes. Where was this? In Aldo's?
Aldo's, yeah.
There's like a thing in the colored community, eh? Like a barber is like...
No, barber is a big
barber's
thing.
Barber's a manier, bro.
And that's the reason why when I started cutting hair on the stoop, I basically asked myself, what's going to set me apart? I mean, right across the road from me, there's a barber. Right across the road from me, there's another barber.
Yeah.
What's the one thing that sets me apart? And when I started and I saw people actually coming lined up, sitting in the cold to actually get haircuts... And then I went to the barber across the road from me and I saw what he was doing. It's much, much more of a monitor transaction. Cut your hair, done, next customer. Mm. Cut your hair, done, next customer. And the one thing that I then, like I shared, I had a notebook and a pen and I used to write down the name of a person, the conversation, just taking that small extra detail.
Yes. And like so that I said, when they come back, you know that this
you
is...
You know that this is the person that you're cutting. And for me, it was never about the skill set, but it was
the experience.
Building relationship. Mm. Because I understood the importance of relationship at such a young stage of my journey. So anyway, so a friend of mine understood, he could also cut hair. Said, okay, no, come on board, let's cut hair together. So I've known him for many years, just shook hands and we said, you know what, let's continue to do this until we get space. Mm. So things became a bit busy. And this was only weekends. Not far away from where the stoop was, there was the impact, like a pool room, basically, where guys used to go shoot pool. And we then approached the landlord of that building and he said, you know what, can we have a space here? Is it possible? It was a small space, like 25 square meter space. Mm.
Literally just a room.
Just a room. And he agreed and just told us, guys, you know what? There's no lease here. Just make sure you pay. If you don't pay, you're out. So we then said, okay, no problem. So then we launched on the 3rd of September 2011. And when we launched, still called the barbershop, no name. People came out and we saw, you know what, this thing is actually going to grow because there's some sort of traction here. So
were you still only cutting on weekends or now every day?
So we were cutting, no. So then we had to get guys in. So after work, so I used to work up until 4. So 4, I used to go to the shop and have customers that come from work.
Okay, and see them. People after work, yeah.
Yeah.
So now, you were pushing full-time job, 9 to 5, full-time. 9 to 4.
Yes.
And then 5 until 9 or 10 or whatever.
Yes, at the shop. So we used to have so me and him together. And then we then saw guys from a community who were like, you know what? Let's upskill these youngsters from a community. Let them come work at a shop.
Then so
They cut during the day. And for me, it was, okay, you know what? Let's take some time off during the week. Let's take them to the schools and to the oldish homes. And let's go. Because in order for you to become better as a barber, you need to
practical. To cut many heads.
You need to become practical. So then we took them out to the oldish homes and the schools.
Because there is free haircuts.
Free haircuts.
Yeah, and everyone's happy.
Free and we're showing them how to do this. I think while going out to the oldish homes, we enjoyed it so much that we then decided to name the barbershop after the old people because they're the legends of our community.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where the name Legends Barbershop comes from. Yeah.
And they were grateful for the haircut.
Yeah, so...
Now, When did the... So that was shop number one, the OG shop.
Yeah, so that was... So that was 2011. That was 2011.
How long did it take you to get to that point, naming it Legends? Was it a year?
Yeah, it was a couple of months.
A
couple of months, yeah.
So now you know... Yes.
So check this.
Yeah.
So you know my wife. So I get married on the 3rd of... On the 4th of December.
Yeah.
On the 4th of December of that same
2011.
Year. 2011. Yeah. I get married to my wife. And I go away. This friend of mine is my best friend at my wedding. So I go away and he says, fine, don't worry. I got everything under control. I trusted his words.
Yeah, you went honeymoon.
Honeymoon. Yeah. Came back 6 days later. Came back, the doors are closed. And I'm like, okay, what's the story here? What's happening? I called him. He never answered his phone.
Yeah.
I called one of the guys that was working there. And he explained to me, you know what? This guy, he never paid... the rental, but to make matters worse, he never paid them because they used to get paid on a daily basis, commission.
Yeah, commission, how many heads you cut, whatever.
So now I'm standing in front of those closed doors and I'm thinking myself, you know what? What do I do now? It's like...
He never paid the rent.
He never paid the rent. And obviously the landlord did lock us
up. Yeah.
And so now we closed down. We closed down and I never heard from that guy back then.
Yeah.
Back then, if I knew you, maybe you'd have done something.
Why didn't you phone me, boss?
So I continued working in Standard Bank. Just to give you background. So I worked in, my job title, you know, the banks give you these fancy titles. Yeah. My job title was an account management consultant.
Right.
Sounds very fancy. Huh?
Yeah.
I was a debt collector.
You were phoning people pay your loan.
pay your accounts up, It was me, bro. It was definitely me,
And now what happened when the shop closed? You had to go back to Span?
Yeah, no, I was still working. So
More barbershop?
No more barbershop. So
and
I
no
left
more cutting
hair.
Yeah.
I left cutting hair there and then. I said, I'm no longer picking up clippers.
Yeah.
And this was 2011, 2012. I just said, I'm not touching it anymore. So 2013.
Yeah.
There are still customers that still...
That were like, yeah, Sheldon, so, I want you to cut my hair. Yeah.
Yeah. So 2013, I said, okay, you know what? Let me get myself a scooter. So I got myself a scooter. And I said, okay, I have...
A scooter?
Yeah.
To get around. How were you traveling up until that point?
No, so remember, me and my wife were also working at Standard Bank together.
Okay, yeah.
So the reason I got myself a scooter is to go to customers, after hours,
right.
Mobile service. So I used to work from 8 till 4 and 5 till whichever time. I used to go out to customers on a scooter. Weekends, same thing, go out to customer on a scooter. So imagine you living in the south and you're driving as far as 4 ways.
You're on a scooter.
All of those places on a scooter, bro. And that was my mode of becoming the mobile barber. So while going out to these customers, I then saw, you know what, I'm actually gaining a lot of traction by doing this.
Mm.
Oh, can I share the story with you quickly? So I get to this one customer's place, and I get to his place, and I see he was trying to call me, but I couldn't answer.
Because you're on the scooter.
Because I have a helmet.
Yeah.
And I get to the boom gate of his estate, and then I called him back, and he said, you know what, there's load shedding here. You can't cut.
Yeah.
And now I had to turn around, go back home, but a bit disappointed that I lost out now on the sale.
Yeah, and you've ridden all the way now. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, what do I do now? So, but whilst going back home, I then came up with this whole idea of the mobile bus.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, the Legends bus.
The bus.
Yes.
And I wrote it down, I sketched it and all of these things. But obviously, there was one problem. I didn't have money. So yeah. I'm like,
you're moving on a scooter, dog. How do you go from a scooter to a bus?
To a bus. So I'm like, okay, how do I do this? But anyway, I think it was just one of those things where you just write down and you just put it one side.
Yeah,
maybe
for
one
later.
Day.
Yeah.
Maybe one day. So the following year, July 24, 2014, I decided to go at it again.
Yeah.
This time gaining the trust of the barbers that was working at the first shop.
Yeah.
Them joining and basically saying, you know what, let's do
You're
this.
You're working with me now, yeah. You're
working with me
We're
now
doing
directly.
It
Come and see how we can do this. And a week later, I then left the bank. I
turned
my resignation in the bank. My manager laughing at me, telling me, saying I'm going to become a barber.
You're going to go cut hair.
I'm going to cut hair for a living. But I never looked back from there. Then like 2 or 3 years afterwards, that's when the bus came about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But from there, did you have a brick and mortar store, like a Legends, which was the OG Legends barbershop?
No, so the store that we opened the 26th of July,
2014,
that was the first store.
Which one was that?
In Eldos.
In Eldos.
So we relaunched in Eldos.
Where in Eldos?
So it was a shopping center called Crystal Mall.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so Crystal Mall, that was the relaunch. And when we relaunched, the goal was always to expand. I always had this goal to open 5 stores in 5 years. And basically I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice and I'm going to be able to at least take minimal salary.
Yeah, salary.
You understand?
And
just
reinvest into
just
the business.
Reinvest in the business, bootstrapping.
Yeah.
And using the profits from one store, plowing it in the next store. The following year we open up in Florida.
Yes, in the West. That's when I happened upon Legends Barber. Dandro used to cut by you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then the following year we open up in Zone 6 venue.
Zone 6, yes,
and
by Chris.
Then,
yeah.
Then we open up another one.
And that one used to bang, eh? That one was so busy.
Yes. Then we
But
open
the
up
queue at Legends Barber Zone 6 venue was always banging.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Was crazy.
So it's almost like you always needed more stores to service more people.
To service more people, Our fourth store was Hatfield. Then 5th store was Newtown.
Yeah. Did that happen in 5 years or did it happen in less?
It was less than 5 years.
Yeah.
It was less than 5 years. But you know what happened was that, so this is something people didn't know. So while expanding and while busy bootstrapping, so the guy that started with me from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So we
the guy of the one who got the clothes
shop.
No, not
that guy.
Okay.
Not the guy. One of the barbers.
Yeah.
So one of the barbers that started with me way back. So I was like, nah, this guy is too loyal to me. Let me at least make sure that he's sorted.
He's covered,
you understand?
Yeah.
So when we opened Zone 6, and I said, you know what? I'm going to give you a percentage in a shop.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? You don't have to pay me nothing. Here's 50% of the profits. You understand?
Yeah.
We're going to split it evenly. I want you to be
a partner.
I want you to be a partner in the shop. So he agreed and said, okay, Nan, nah, this is stop, and basically now we're working together to see how we can grow this thing.
Yeah.
That was only in that Zone 6 shop. Then there was another guy that came along. He was always involved in the Eldo shop from a distance as a customer. He's sitting on the side.
Yeah, yeah.
He's one of those owners.
But like that loyal support only cuts by you.
And yeah. He's like, you know what? I want to be part of the shop. Mm. I want to be part of
Even though
of,
he wasn't a barber.
Yeah, he wasn't a barber. And he was like, you know what? I want to be part of this. So he came and he was like, you know what? My grandfather gave me some money. Yeah. And I'm going to use this money. It was like maybe 100K back then. I'm going to use this money and I want to see if I can plow it into a business.
Yes.
I said, okay, you know what? Give me that money. Come with us. Come, I give you a percentage in this shop. So then that was the Eldo shop.
Yeah.
So now we had these two shops.
That you were in partnership. JVs, yes, JVs, yeah.
So these two shops had JVs. And now while we're busy going on our expansion plan, we're opening more stores and basically you're still using of the money that you're making and you're expanding. These two guys in Zone 6 venue and in Yaldos started getting ideas and they're like, you know what? What's the use? We're actually making Sheldon rich here. You understand?
Mm.
Why don't we start our own thing? And the plan was to open shops where Sheldon had locations. So I'm going to open a shop right next to Zone 6. I'm going to open a shop in Florida, in Gordon Road. I'm going to open a shop in Pretoria. I'm going to open a shop wherever there's already a Legends barber.
Yeah. I'm going to open a shop, whatever.
I'm going to rename it.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it a different name. But guess what? Just to make matters worse, I'm going to take all Sheldon's stuff. All these barbers that was working at his stores, I'm going to grab all of those guys. And back then, imagine this. We had stores as far as we had the store in Florida Road, Durban. We had a store in Florida Road, Durban. These guys were cahooting against one another and say, you know what, this is what we're going to plan to do and we're going to expand this whole thing.
So but expand on the same Legends Barber pathway.
Yes.
So take a location in Florida Road, Durban.
Yes. But now being able to take all our stuff. So imagine this one time I was traveling. I just came back from China. And as I land, I go to the shop in Yaldos. I say, you know what? It's fine. I heard what you need to do. I'm taking down my branding. And that same day, I go to Zone 6 venue, close down the shop. The lease was in my name, so I had to close down the shop and say, you know what? Can I see how I can split things? Then I went to the shop in Florida. And as I go to the shop in Florida, I go speak to the guys. Every single one of them resigned. Every single one of them. Same thing in Durban, same thing in Hatfield, all of these guys resigned and followed these guys.
How?
So next day
was
a Saturday. Now I had to now roll up my sleeves and we just started a training center back then.
Yeah.
The training center wasn't a big deal. So we just started the training center. Now I had to take those guys out of the training center prematurely.
Put them in the shops,
And put them in the shops. And Sheldon also had to now go cut hair now. Back to basics.
Yeah.
So now you had 7 shops. Now you close down 2 shops.
Yeah, Zone 6 and Eldos.
Yes. Now you're like, yes. Now you're putting on the back foot now. Now you're like, just, what am I going to do here? And some of the shops, remember, they convinced some of the shops, like in Durban, majority of the staff left, and there was only 2 guys in Durban.
Mm.
There was in Hatfield, there was only 1 or 2 barbers. So all of these things are happening. You ask yourself, like, what am I doing here? You understand? I mean, like, is it really worth it? You see, is this really like
these guys experiencing this? Screwed me over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now you ask yourself, like, what's happening? I mean, during that time, I think.
And that time you blessed them. Like, you gave them a portion of a business that you started for free.
For free.
Yeah.
But just think about it. Now you experiencing this whole setback. And I think one of the blessings that I've learned during that time is being able to include God in your business.
Mm.
Because many of the times when you achieve these successes and you think it's about yourself, you think it's about what you can do, you understand. But not necessarily putting God within what you do on a daily basis.
Mm.
I'm telling you, Waras, during that time, I got on my knees each and every day. And I asked, you know what? this is not my business. I am just a steward, and I need you to be in control. And I won't lie to you, without a doubt, was that God came through with us. And I don't know how we recovered from that, because you can imagine
the damage that it does. Because now customers rock up, they're always not there. Down the road.
Customers actually went to those guys.
Yes, then they go to those guys because they need to cut their hair, bro.
Because it's the same barbers. Yes. Just think about it. It's the same barbers that's working at your shop is working at the other shop, you see. And that whole realignment just helped me focus much more on what's my purpose.
Yeah.
You understand?
And how am I building this thing? Because I think a lot of the time when we're building anything or when we require anything, we think we need to rely on third parties.
Yeah.
You see, I have to speak to Sheldon because how am I going to do this thing? You know what I mean? I have to trick in this man. I have to trick in Ketsi, PH. You don't have that confidence to say, actually, it's my idea, my concept, my blessing. I'm going to do it on my own.
Yeah.
Give it my best. Do you understand?
It's true.
If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But then it's on me.
Yeah.
Now it's like, this is actually not my fault. Yeah. These guys screwed me over. Am I making sense?
Makes sense. Definitely makes sense.
So how can my business implode because of other people?
Because of other people. Mm. You know, other people. And understanding that if you're able to come through lessons like this, I just shared with you two failures that just took place.
Yeah. One failure was detrimental ones. It could have been the end of the business.
I mean, like, the first one that took place was my first store.
Yeah.
And the second one was
your flagship stores.
Yeah. And the second one was with these guys. And I think, like, during this time is understanding that sometimes you need some pruning within your business. Sometimes there's some people that does not belong within your business. In order for you to go to the next stage of your journey, there's some pruning that needs to take place. And pruning is not... it's not the nicest thing in the process. Because
When it's happening, it's cuck. We can talk about it now because now you have a six-pack.
Yes.
But at the time...
It's tough, bruv. It's tough.
Because, you didn't phone me too.
Yeah, because now that pruning process...
You phone me, I was going to come and prune them.
I'm telling you, it's like... It's tough, bruv. It's tough. But being able to cut off... being able to cut off these things in order to make the changes.
Mm.
And I think most of the time we think that success is just achieved by the nice things. But understanding that success is actually, you actually need to cut off things in order for you to go to the next level.
Mm.
There's some people that's in your life that you need to cut off in order for you to progress.
Mm. And that time you thought they were your friends.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't want to lose people.
You're close to shades.
Because you're like, but it's Sheldon. Sheldon's my dude.
People and... that's been with you for years.
Yes.
People that's been part of this journey. People that understands your business in and out.
In and out. Yeah, take your idea and go and do it themselves. Where are those shops now?
I think they closed down now.
Yeah.
I think they closed down. Yeah, because I think if your purpose of starting a business
is money,
but also to show people that you can do it better.
Yeah,
I understand. It's like that whole
envy,
concept.
That jealousy.
Yeah, that ego. Jealousy to say, you know what, I'm going to show legends. I'm going to show Sheldon. And that's the wrong mentality of starting a business where your purpose is supposed to be, how am I going to serve my customer?
Mm.
How am I going to serve my customer and ensure that my customer leaves my store each and every day, leaves with a smile, leaves happy.
And comes back next week.
That's supposed to be your purpose.
Now, you said 5 stores in 5 years. You are now at 76 stores in 10 years, basically, because 2014, we're now in 2025. How did that massive expansion take place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, massive expansion took place. So, I think it was up until we grew our 9th store. So the 9th store... And I was approached by Ricky.
Yeah.
So Ricky was like, you know what? I have a nice location near to where I stay, which is Waterfall Corner.
Yeah.
And he was like, I was actually thinking of doing partners.
Yeah.
And I can imagine me and my experience going through all of his partners. And
yeah,
I'm like,
exactly.
You know,
you're like, I don't want partners.
I don't want partners in my business. And Ricky was like, okay, you know what? What are the best options that you can make this work?
Was so he cutting at Legends at the time?
Yeah, no, I was his barber. Yeah. So I knew Ricky from 2015. So I knew him when we only had like three stores.
Three stores.
Yes. So such a cool guy. Such
you
cool
couldn't
guy.
Have had a better partner.
Yeah, no, definitely, yeah. definitely. What an amazing
and
guy.
And if you know, if the devil sent those other partners, God yeah. sent Ricky.
God sent Ricky. Mm. That's the thing. And you know what happened during that time was that anyway, I'd done some research on franchising and seen how franchising would be best suited to scale your business.
Yes.
So Ricky was one of the first franchisees to actually open a store.
Mm.
And this was 2019. So 2019, we opened a couple of stores. I think we were about 12 stores.
Mm.
The following year, 2020, COVID hit.
Lockdown.
And now we talking, so basically imagine being able to be closed down for 4 years, 4 months, four months. In our industry, we were closed down for 4 months. And now the money is running dry. And
yeah, because now it was lockdown level 5. Yeah.
So we got on a Zoom call with all the franchisees and speaking to all of them. And we're like saying, hey, how are we going to pay salaries and all of these things? And many of the franchisees that was part of our business back then was complaining and saying, yeah, but we can't pay the guys because
we're not
because
making not any money. Making. The stores
yeah,
are.
We're not making any money. And Ricky said something so profound during that thing. And he says, why are we doing what we're doing?
Mm.
And I asked Ricky to elaborate. And I'm asking, he says, no, why do we do what we do? Are we doing it because we want to make money?
Mm.
Or are we doing it to impact the lives of people?
Mm.
And everyone was just quiet. Because he said something so important. Because many of the times, we just think about self-enrichment, self-gain.
Mm. And the shop must be a profit-generating
asset. It has to be profit-generating
asset, yeah.
But for him, it was like, you know, the reason why he invested in this business was to see the change in people's lives, to impact people holistically. And that, for him, was a driving force behind that. And I mean, we concluded that meeting and we decided, you know what, we're going to pay people salaries throughout that
lockdown period.
We're going to pay people salaries. And also, when lockdown was finished, Ricky said, you know what, because one of the things that they had done, so basically so imagine during this time, you know, the money is becoming lower and lower and lower. Mm. And I can remember, in our bank account, we only had like 97,000 rand that was left out of all the funds.
Mm.
And during this time was the time when I felt God speaking to me and saying, you know what, people are struggling outside. How are you able to help them?
Mm.
And we had stores in different regions, decided to send our guys on the ground to send them money so they can buy grocery hampers for people.
Mm.
And the guys went out. And I mean, like, obviously that money got finished.
Yeah, that was the last money.
And guess what happened? We said that on the 25th of June 2020, when we come back, we're going to give away free haircuts.
Mm.
So Ricky came up with the idea and he said, you know what? While doing free haircuts, why don't you have people donate like food parcels and anything that's food related, non-perishables and all of these things, and they get free haircuts at the shops. So we opened the 25th of June 2020 and it was buzzing. People came out and there was queues. There was over 500 people per store.
Yes,
and our capacity to cut people in one day is maybe 100, 150 max. And that particular day, People just came. We then went out the next day. We went out to the communities. We went out to go give food parcels. And I think that's been one of those things where you tell yourself, you know, there's certain things that happens throughout your journey that God allows you to sow seeds. And once you become obedient to that, God begins to bless you and your business. And everything that you do becomes a blessing moving forward.
Mm.
Because whoever refreshes the poor is is basically bowing to God. You understand? And I think that for me was one of those things. And if you ask me today, to your question, how did you scale the business to over 70 stores? I think for me, I would say that you know, it's just being obedient and just allowing God to be present within your business.
Because now it's massive. Legends is a monster. What was the impact of Ricky, would you say, in the business? Because I know you guys were close. Obviously, he approached as a franchisee, but he became like a face of the business almost, you know. And his association with the business continues today. That story is still there.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, such a special guy. I mean,
I remember the billboard opposite Guamax in Umlazi. It was Ricky on the Legends Barbershop billboard.
And guess who designed it?
Who?
Him. So we put everything together. I mean, what that billboard? That was our very first billboard. So Ricky was like, you know what, Shell? We need to do something much more professional. Because you know, the one thing I admire and I've learned so much about him, the creativity and his mind.
Yeah, unmatched.
Just something else. And I mean, like, you'll think about something, you'll write it down, and eventually the thought process comes out in so many different forms. So he calls me and he says, you know what, I want to do a photo shoot. But says, must choose a couple of models and he's going to be one of them. Said, okay, no problem. And this was just after COVID. And either way, he comes up with a tagline and he says, you know what do you think about this tagline? And on the tag poster, he shared, it says, like, Africa's number one barber shop.
Shots.
And
yeah.
He's the one that, like, came up with that tagline. He says, like, what do you think about this? And I was like, you know what? That's you.
Yeah, that's your department. That's your department.
That's you. And we put up a billboard, and it just went viral. And people saw it, and people were so amazing just to have him be part of the business. And I mean, like, till today, I still owe him so much because the type of impact, you have no idea. I mean, like, while growing your business, you are in the moment of doing things. But when you have somebody that is genuinely invested in your growth and want to see you progress in life, then that is a blessing from above. There's no one else that take somebody's place like that. Because if I believe that for me personally, I was so blessed to walk the road with him. Because for me, Ricky was one of those people that even if you're in his presence, you feel that, you know what, this person is adding value to your life.
100%.
This person just adds that.
And he had a way of, like, refining an idea.
Yes.
Where if you share something, and you say, you know what, I think we should do a billboard.
Yeah.
He'll say, no, let's not just do a billboard.
Yes.
Let's do a billboard and this. And then you're like, ish, I didn't think of that. You know what I mean? Then when it actually comes to life, you're like, hey, this guy, how did he know?
How did he know?
You know what I'm saying?
But you, like, know what was so amazing?
Like a visionary.
Now that many people do things for the sake of profit. And for Ricky, it was much more driven by purpose.
Yeah, big time.
He really wanted to see, like, just share with you. So a week before he passed away, so he calls me and he was like, Charles, you know what? There's one thing about Legends, and this one thing that I bought into Legends was the fact that you focus on imparting knowledge and skills into young people that don't have an opportunity to actually go out and go make a career out of cutting hair and all of these things. You actually take them in and you show them a skill set. You actually help them through this process.
Yeah, you develop them
and take them through this whole process. And he said, you know what? Never forget that particular thing, because that particular thing, the training centers, is the one that created this whole thing that you see today. So we had a long conversation and we're like, imagine I'm driving from Pretoria and he's speaking nonstop, and I'm asking myself, like, why is this guy talking so much to me today? It's like unfolding, like, all of these golden nuggets.
Yeah.
And I mean, just the following week he passed away.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I was dumbstruck and I was numb. And you understand? I think, yeah.
Yeah, I saw you at the funeral. It was, I think it was, you know, not just in Legends Barbershop, I think in the whole industry. I was at Cotton Fest on Saturday. And they did like a tribute, came out, did a tribute set to Ricky and was a lighty. Uncle Vinny was leading it, you know. And despite the fact that he's passed away, despite the fact that people haven't seen him performing live in 2-3 years, right? You know, there was those familiar things that he did, you know, like we mind the whole thing, you know, this way, that way, you know. Everybody knew those chants.
Yes.
Everybody knew those, like, it's like legacy stuff, you know. And I haven't seen an artist with that type of impact, you know what
definitely. I
mean? Where Prado was packed. There was like 10,000 people there. Like, I couldn't believe how packed it was, you know what I mean?
And you know, this whole thing, like, I was cutting his hair this one day and, and how the whole Cotton Fest idea came about. So he just came back from Amsterdam and he was like, you know what, I'm thinking about doing this. And he took some pictures of the festivals that happens in
Amsterdam,
It was in Amsterdam. And, and he came up with this. And this was, I mean, like this was maybe 2016, 2017. And it was just an idea. It was just an idea. And it was like, you know what, I'm busy working on this. And the one thing about him, because he has a level of OCD, he like wants things to be done to perfection.
Perfection. And the way he wants them.
The way he wants
You can
them.
Come and you can say, you know what, actually at the moment in this thing, everyone is doing this. And you'll be like, yeah, but we can't do that. Yeah, because then they're doing it. Then we might as well let them do it.
Might as well just let them do it. And I think that, that was an idea that he had in mind, and he was like, you know what, this thing is going to be something totally different. It's going to be something that's going to outlive us, even when we're not
100%.
Here.
100%. And that was his approach,
exactly
too.
And just look at the...
He used to say, I remember with that, he did a, like a launch at Area 3 then, Brom.
Yes.
And he was like, ah, it's just a small one, you know. We'll just do something. We're going to pull up, but maybe like come with in or come with like 2 bouncers, you know. Just for inside the store, but we'll see who pulls through. I'm like, but you're announcing it on Monday or Tuesday. This thing is on Saturday. Are you sure? Maybe push it to next week.
Yes.
He's like, ah, boy, are you coming? I said, yeah, I'm coming. He's like, yeah, I'm also coming. Then we'll be there by ourselves. He's like, it will be me and you and the bouncers. Then we shoot the thing and tell people, ah, you missed out. You know, like silly like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's like he knew. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Hey, bruh. That corner there by Prom.
Yes. Packed.
Couldn't
packed,
move.
Packed,
the traffic packed, was packed up down Smith Street till the PP.
Yes.
This way. And then this way as far as Harrison.
Yes.
It was like insane. Super packed. You know, somebody's standing 400 meters away from the event, you know what I'm saying? Down Chuta Street.
Yes.
I'm like, what the hell? So when we got there, now we coming, this is, thing is starting at 12. We coming at 10. Yo, you can't move, you know?
Ooh.
Then he's like, I told you they'll come out. It's like, now you don't have to be in the footage. It's like, now you don't have to be in the footage. There's enough of... Idiots. So
no,
it's just, yeah, like, you know, like...
Yeah, no, such a special
As you
guy.
Say, when the things are being discussed, you know, at the moment that you're having the conversation, you don't know that it's going to go on to become legendary.
Yes, yes.
And I think, yeah, you're right, man. It's like a, it's a massive blessing to have.
It's such a massive blessing.
And he liked what he liked.
Yes.
You know, if Ricky came to you and he said, yo, this Legends Barber thing is a thing.
It's a thing.
That guy didn't just jump on anything.
He didn't just jump on anything. I mean, like, he told me, like, you know what, he had proposals where people wanted to partner up with him that made business sense.
Yeah.
Literally made business sense. I mean, like, there's a couple of guys out there that know about it.
Yeah.
But he says, you know what, I'm not going to jump on it.
Mm.
Purely because of it does not drive purpose. In
me. Yeah,
yes.
100%.
And I want to live, I want to be happy, and I want to be content with what I do.
Mm.
Because I can remember this one time, I'm visiting the store. And I'm visiting the store and Ricky's busy here with the register. He's checking in customers and writing down the names and the numbers of customers on the register. And people knew, people that came to his shop, You was that guy. You was a guy that was sweeping the shop. You was that guy that was just there to serve people. Because I understood the purpose behind what's happening.
Behind the customer experience. Yes. That when I go to Legend, when I go to Ricky's store and you see Ricky.
And I think,
and sometimes for people, like you say, you know, you come for the haircut, but you stay for that. You know, like to say, yo, this guy is here all the time. You know what I mean?
That stood out for me. And I mean, like, Warriors, you've worked with so many other people, so many other artists. You've worked with the A-listers and all of these guys. And why is it up until today people are still talking about Ricky?
Yeah, 100%.
Because he had an impact on so many people's lives.
Yes, and he was, as you said, irreplaceable.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I don't think there's anyone, that in our generation that would have an impact like he had.
No, 100%. Because I actually feel like if he had gone on, I always think, you know, the stuff that he would have achieved. You know, there's a lot of conversations that never became public.
Yes.
I actually did a podcast with Ricky. He was like, no, let's just do it. Let's do it. Then we see, like a pilot, you know. This is lockdown years, like 2020, but not level 5. Yeah, by like level 3. Me, him, and Nathan were like, no, let's come up with this thing. And then he's like, I said, okay, so what are we going to talk about? He's like, we talk about the culture. We talk about the game. Let's see. Let's just talk. Yeah. It's like, we talk about it all the time. Let's talk about the normal stuff, you know.
Yes.
And we're sitting like this and we spoke, bruh. We're supposed to do 30 minutes. I think we spoke for like 2 hours.
Yes.
And the conversation just flowed, just you know. And it was a brilliant conversation. Wow. And because we were just fucking around and, you know, like it wasn't, we'd set it up with like a, like not, I don't want to say the B team, but like the lighties, the interns, you know.
Yes.
The audio on the podcast was corrupted, you know.
Yes.
And you know, like you pissed off about it, because if we had that footage and we had that content, it would be gold today, you know.
Yes.
But you can watch that tape and there's no audio.
And still see.
Yeah, but you can see that the conversation that was going on, you know. And I know what was happening in the conversation. Yeah. So it's like, it's special for me, like it'll never be for anybody else. So I could have put it out and it could have had the most impact for so many people. Mm. But I think it would be incomparable to the impact it had for me and Nathan. Because we were there.
Yes.
And we're just making cack. And the irony of it is that it was never, it was a pilot. It was just a fuck around. It was never meant to become, it wasn't an episode of something that we were going to put out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We're just messing
around. Just making it
But it yeah, like it, you know, like so many other conversations that we had, those are things that you know, you hold dear.
You hold dear.
And like you say, I know, because I knew him. Exactly. I can relate 100% to what you're saying, because that was who he was. He was that guy.
It's like a straight shooter.
Yeah.
A straight shooter. The time when I was losing weight.
Yeah.
The time when I was gaining weight.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I went through this stage, like, where I'm getting now, like, I'm getting big.
Big,
now.
Yeah.
and he was like, Shell, which one is this one now?
Yeah.
He's talking to the stomach now. Stomach, he's like, which one is this one now?
And like, you noticed.
And he was like, nah, we have to do something here.
Yeah. You can't carry on like this.
Yeah, you can't carry
pull on up like this. You're like, how are you pulling up? We used to bodyguard him, right? So I used to put him with two brutes. Then they'd go to the shows. That time, I think it was Donaldson Dam.
Yes.
Some big event in the West. It was like New Year's Day. So we were bodyguarding him with Olympus.
Yeah.
So I had on, I also had on an Olympus t-shirt, you know. And then I get into the car and then he's like, what are you doing now? I say, what do you mean? He's like, are you a bouncer or what? Like, he's like, oh, you're a bouncer, what? Like, you can't wear this. I know, like, the guys are wearing it. The guys are looking after us. He's like, I asked you to come with, I didn't ask you to bodyguard me. I asked you to come with as Warriors. You can't come through now. Like, you're the bouncer.
You're coming through with another one now.
Are you the bouncer now?
You're the bouncer now.
Like,
you're not,
you can't
the one.
Come like this. You got to pull up. Like, like, put on a blouse or something. Like, what are you doing? Then he's like, hey, Eno, Talk to this guy. He's coming with the Olympus uniform. You can't come in. Now you're pulling up in uniform. I feel like you're working. I'm like, I am working. I'm with you, Moose. He's like, crazy. No, you can't be working with me. You were supposed to just come with me because you're my bro.
Yeah.
Dude.
No, that was time. I actually recall this one time I was busy cutting his hair. And Vinny pulled up and Vinny was like, and Vinny pulled up and Vinny was going with him to a gig.
Yeah.
And Vinny looked, he didn't look the part.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? Just go upstairs. Go upstairs, go grab anything.
Yeah.
Put it on and look the part. Let's go.
Yeah.
That was him.
Yeah.
That was
he's
him.
Like, nah, you can't. What, you what
can't,
is this
you
now?
Can't,
yeah.
You can't, you can't.
He's just, like, you can't. You know? Can't.
Yeah, but such a special guy.
Even that, that day at Area 3 as well. Yeah. I have a photo. It's me. Innocent and Blessing. We're standing by the entrance. And you remember we used to wear those Olympus
bombers? Yes, yes,
yes. Then when he got there, like, he's like, ah, you see now. Ah, now you're in uniform again. I don't know, must we call you Warwick? Like, ah, we're going to have to call you Warwick now. We can't be calling you Waras. You're the bouncer, yeah. Hey, give me shit. You'd be like, no, like what's going on now? You can't be the bouncer. We need you to be Waras. He's always said to me, we need you to be Waras.
You must
you know?
Be Waras.
Yeah,
you must
like,
out,
I left radio.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing radio anymore.
Yeah,
I was now focusing. Remember, we're
on
doing
security,
F&B Stadium
yes,
and the security
yes,
stuff
yes,
was getting busy.
Was getting
like,
there,
ah, but we need you to be Waras.
Yes.
Because if you stop being Waras, who's going
to be
Waras?
To be Waras?
He's like, I can't be Waras. There's no other Waras. Stop it now, man. He's like, no, maybe that one you can wear at the stadium. But yeah, we're pulling up. We can't
pull up.
Take that
one.
Off. Yeah. Then, you know, they're in the garage at the house. He had all the merch. Right? That's it. Lukotini killers here.
Yes, yes.
And he's like, you're going to have to put something on.
Yeah,
fortunately,
yeah.
If you're wearing this, you're covered. Like, put on the seat. Then he gave me a family values jacket. All those things I got from him when I'd go to his house and he'd be like, hey, you can't be pulling up with the bouncer swag.
Yeah,
you got
to
pull up.
You have to pull up with this one now. Make sure you rock this one.
Hey. Anyway, God rest his soul.
Yeah.
But you've cut a lot of famous hits.
Yeah.
So the other day, Black Coffee was at the shop as well.
Yes.
And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I think like real, recognize real.
Mm.
Does that make sense, you know? Is that like a fulfillment of that vision?
Yeah.
Or is the vision for legends never fulfilled?
I think it's quite interesting was that.
Yeah, because, you know, Black Coffee can cut hair anyway, bro. You know, he can fly his barber out from Barbados.
Yeah.
But when he's home, that's where he cuts.
I think it's a blessing. I think it's definitely a blessing. It's a blessing that to think about a barbershop that comes from a community that stands for the right values, that stands for the right principles. People that don't necessarily support the barbershop just for the quick fix, but much more about what it's doing. And we speak about all of these celebrities.
The quick fixes in, I'm here, I need a haircut, I'm gone.
And we speak about all of these celebrities. We speak about, till today, they would still prefer to cut at legends. And it's bigger than, I think for me personally, it's bigger than what I do. It's bigger than, it speaks towards what legends is currently doing and the purpose behind legends. And I'm talking about purpose, it comes down to what Ricky said while we were on that Zoom call, is why do we do what we do? And it comes down to the people. The people that is there, the people that we impact in lives. So you know the training centers, and we know that training centers across
which is upskilling
across
people with
upskilling
no opportunities.
People. I mean, like, there's guys, Waras, I can share with you testimonies of guys that come through the training center that were in prison.
Mm.
You understand? These guys were incarcerated. Everyone wrote them off.
Yeah.
They come to the training center. We upskill them. We don't only give them a skill, but we show them how to live, how to be better humans for our society.
Mm.
So when they leave the training centers, they are on the level where they are able to work within a corporate job or work with as a barber, but also having the right principles, being good men and women for society. Mm. And I think that's what we need, you understand? It's not about, it's fair and well, you can give somebody a skill, but to actually show them the foundation of how to live your life. That's, and if you think about majority of the problems that we face, whether it's gender-based violence, yeah. whether it is drugs, whether it's all of these things, all stem towards people not having a solid foundation.
Foundation, 100%. You understand? Yeah.
People come from different backgrounds. Mm. People come from things where, if you ask yourself, how did this person overcome these things?
How did this person make it out?
But if you hear the testimonies from these guys, I mean, it's so amazing to see people's lives being transformed and them being actually good men and women for society. So when we have these celebrities genuinely follow our business, genuinely want to invest within our business, it comes down to the heart, you understand? I mean, you wouldn't necessarily just do something just for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
You want to do something because, you know what, I support Legends because it's a business of impact.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's one of those businesses where I have a CSI program here and I do this initiative here and I sponsor this here. I don't just do that just for the sake of doing it. I actually do it because I see the literal impact of each and every person that's working within our business. Mm. And that's the reason I would support Legends, because what it stands for. If you look at the youth unemployment rate, it's crazy. Like 5 out of 10 people unemployed. I mean, this is stats that you see what's happening within our country. Mm. And if we are able to make the difference, why not? If we are able to change people's lives, if we are able to transform, use the profits from our products, use the profits from our shops, use that and plow into the training centers and plow into people's lives, because they don't pay for the training. They don't pay for all the things that's happening with the training. Mm. They get free training. But we are able to use this as a platform to disciple them and help them become what they need to be. Mm. And I mean, like, I visited the training center like last week, and quite interesting was that I saw there was this one lady, like these people that there's like boys and girls like in the training center, but there was this one lady that stood out, and I'm looking at this girl and I'm thinking to myself, this lady actually looks very educated. What does she want here? Mm. You understand this one? And I approached her and I spoke to her and she told me that, you know what, she has a postgrad in accounting.
Mm.
And she's, for the past year, she's been struggling to find a job.
Find a job, yeah. Even with that postgrad.
The postgrad. And she said, you know, how difficult is it? She has a baby boy that's home and she doesn't see anything else for her to do. Mm. And this was the only solution for this. And that same lady is graduating next week. She's going to work in a store. And I'm telling you, like, people like that gives us the reason to do what we do.
That's why you do it. In terms of from a business perspective, I've seen you launched the Founders Chair as well, where you have conversations with CEOs and founders of businesses. You know, you've built the Legends brand and you've built the Legends business in South Africa. And I think oftentimes we also see like the climate of business in South Africa is not the easiest. You know, like there's the VAT hike, there's increases in taxes. How do you feel, like, what are your thoughts on South Africa as a country for entrepreneurs? Knowing we need more of it, would you say that the circumstances that are created are not exactly ideal for entrepreneurship, or are they? You know what I mean? Is now the time, like, is this a hot entrepreneurs market?
Yeah, I think it boils down to few things. I mean, like, for me personally, if you look at the country as economists, you look at all the negative stuff that's taking place, whether it's a VAT, whether it's the tariffs, whether it's all of these things. So as an economist, you're looking at a country and you think to yourself, you know what, it actually doesn't make sense.
Mm.
It actually doesn't make sense for me to want to invest, be part of part of this economy. But if I'm looking at the country as, you know what, there's actually so much need within our country.
Mm.
If you look at, if it's the same like the story of the guy that went to go visit the country and he saw everyone not wearing shoes.
Mm.
And there was two perspectives. And the one perspective was that, you know what, nobody's wearing shoes, so I'm not going to develop shoes for that market.
Mm.
But the one the other person that went to that same country said, you know what, nobody has shoes, but I need to develop and I need to solve the problem.
Everybody needs shoes. Yeah.
And that's the reason why we need entrepreneurs. Mm. So entrepreneurs are the problem solvers of our country. Mm. The only way we can solve the youth unemployment rate is through entrepreneurship.
Yes, we need to create jobs for the youth too.
So we need to create jobs and we need to create entrepreneurs as well. Mm. Because entrepreneurs needs to be the driving force about what they do. And if we are able to stimulate growth, then, and I mean, like, I've taken on many entrepreneurs within our training center where we actually show them the fundamentals of what it is to be a barber and how to scale your business like a Sheldon.
So that if you want to open your own barber shop or you want to start your own...
Go scale it.
Yeah.
Go scale it. Because we understand that we can't keep secrets from these guys. We need to open their eyes to greater things that they can be able to achieve. And the only way you want to achieve certain things is by you following a path of entrepreneurship. Mm. Entrepreneurship is one of the biggest responsibilities that you can take on. Mm. But guess what happens? You want to add so much blessing to so many people's lives because if, like Sheldon sitting here today, being able to directly and indirectly employ over 650 people across all stores, training centers, wherever it is. So you have all of these people looking up to you. Think about if Legends wasn't there today, if
Sheldon wasn't there, that's 650 people,
that's 600 families that would be without jobs, and you're actually worsening. And that's the reason I encourage so many people to consider entrepreneurship, but not just for making money. Yes. Money shouldn't be your motivator.
Yeah. Money is a byproduct of a thing done properly.
Mm. Your mission should be clear. Your mission should be, you know what, how am I able to solve certain problems? How am I able to change certain narratives within my society? Mm. Like, for example, if it's all said and done, if you think about it logically, if it's all said and done, how are we going to measure you? How do we measure Ricky today? We measure Ricky not by
the money.
Products that he sold. You understand? He sold T-shirts and all of these things.
Yes.
Not by the things that the number of music that he created, the awards that he had for himself.
The cause that he drove.
We measure Ricky today
based
on the impact that he had on our lives. Mm. And imagine if we would have lived our lives as Ricky.
Yeah.
I mean, like, for the short space in time that he was alive, he had an impact on so many people's lives.
Mm.
And imagine if most of us would wake up in the morning and say, how am I able to impact the next person's life? Mm. How am I able to help the person actually grow, the next person? And that's the reason I feel like entrepreneurship is one of the only platforms for us to actually become a better nation.
Mm. 100%. What are the plans with Legends now? You're 76 stores in 10 years. What's next from an expansion perspective?
I think there's so many plans to open stores. I mean, like, there's always plans to scale, to look at other countries, our product line.
Legends is cross border, like, in Botswana.
So we're in 5 countries. I mean, we're in Botswana, Namibia, Lesotho, Zambia, and South Africa. So quite interesting enough. I was traveling with a family and, you know, they wanted to go see the snow in Europe. So we went to go visit my wife's niece in Germany.
Mm.
But we didn't get snow, unfortunately. The kids didn't get snow. But but while we were visiting...
Should have gone to Russia.
Yeah. So while we were visiting there and now I'm busy praying now. I'm thinking to myself, like, every year I make goals for myself. And I'm like, what is the goal for 2025? What is the main thing? What is that one thing that you want me to achieve? You understand? So I'm praying and I'm like, you know what? If you think about it, 70-odd stores, products in
multiple outlets, retailers.
You understand? I mean, like, the business is fairly doing okay, you see. What is the one thing? And I'm busy praying and obviously I'm going through the emotion. And on that particular day, I'm chatting to my niece's boyfriend.
Mm.
And this guy, out of the blue, he's German.
Mm.
So I'm chatting to him and he's like, you know, he's asking me, how's the unemployment rate in South Africa? I'm like, why are you asking me this? What's the unemployment rate here?
Yeah, in Germany.
And he's like, yeah. And he's like, maybe 3% unemployment rate. And I respond, and I told him the unemployment rate in South Africa is standing at the staggering 36%, but youth unemployment rate, which is 48% currently. Mm. And I think through that conversation led me to actually wanting to focus much more on trying to solve problems for what we face in our society, which is things like the youth unemployment rate, you understand? And see now, how are we able to make the change within our society? So if you ask me what's my goal for Legends right now, is to see how many people we can employ for 2025. Mm. My goal is to employ 1,000 people within my business, extra 1,000 people within my business.
Over and above this.
Over and above. my goal is to have, to directly help 250 entrepreneurs to actually start their businesses, whether it's through the barber programs or whether it's through hairdressing programs, whichever things you can do with your hands. My goal is to do that. And quite interesting enough that that early on this year I was also appointed the chairperson elect of a franchise association of South Africa.
Nice.
And this for me was, if you think about franchising is a way that will be able to solve for the unemployment crisis that we're currently facing.
Because a franchise, essentially, you give somebody the toolkit of an existing business run it as an,
To run it
as their own business.
Yes. Yeah. So you can imagine if we're able to help so many startup businesses to have the mindset and to franchise their business, and their business model is so efficient that they're able to scale their business and one day be like a Sheldon one day that has over 70 stores. Mm. Then you're creating much more of what we're talking about, that the franchise scalable business. And then we're solving, then we're eventually going to be solving the crisis that we're currently facing.
And if you extrapolate that, and if more companies, more entrepreneurs, more businesses, more franchises can do what Legends is doing.
Yeah.
It's exponential.
No, if you think about
it. Because, I don't think governments.
No, we can't.
At least the VAT increase is not going through. Thanks, guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but we can't look there. So the franchising industry in South Africa is one of the massive growth opportunities. Mm. We are currently, the franchising industry in general, 15% of South Africa's GDP. And through this, over 500,000 jobs are being created. Mm. And whether it's your McDonald's, whether it's your KFC, whether it's whichever franchise you're talking about, those are indirectly through franchising. And franchising is the best scalable solution for us to make a difference within our society.
Because it's all existing, tried and tested businesses.
Yeah.
Does Legends do nails?
Yeah.
Okay. Because yeah, I was thinking,
so we have
salon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do have stores where if you go into stores, you get your facials, your nails. Mm. It's much more your.
Because it's already there. So like it's like existing infrastructure into like a. Because when you say franchise, the word is rattling in my head. Yes. And I'm thinking of Tammy Taylor.
Franchises
can also be a scam.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes. But I think there has to be.
But, bruh, people are. You know, these are things everybody cuts their hair.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You have to cut. I cut my hair this morning. Mm. You know what I mean? But I cut it there by the Paki bras. And they only do it for the money.
You just go quick.
They're not worried. They basically cut my hair and they asked me to show them girls on my Instagram. They say, which one, mate? New one. Which one? So, you know what I mean? Like, you wanna. I was just thinking, because obviously one would think that the barber industry is obviously male dominated. Your story was interesting that there was a lady who was like, yo, I'm coming through. I want to learn how to cut hair. You know, the female equivalent of grooming would be nails, salon.
Hmm? But there's actually a lot of ladies that's coming on board to become barbers.
That's what I'm saying, which is brilliant news.
And that's something different.
Ladies can cut hair too.
Yes. And you see it growing within our industry. Like you know, I think it's become a norm now when I visit the shop and I see at least two or three ladies being able to have their own chair. So that for me is a shift in the right direction.
Yes.
Because it's not
It mustn't be seen as male-dominated. Yes. Because it's a good career. You're never going to be short of customers.
No,
people
definitely.
Are cutting their hair all the time.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely, definitely. And I mean, like, don't discriminate in terms of any gender. Because if there's male or female, I think just being able just to see the change within our society and even the customers themselves being able to adapt on, you know what, I'm fine with the female barber cutting man.
Yes,
and
yes.
It hasn't been like that. It's been one of the most difficult things. But
yes, because now the Owens come there, they want a guy to cut
yes,
them. Yes,
yes. But now you see the change actually happening where people are actually quite affirmed that, you know, this lady come from the training center and she know what she's doing.
Yeah. Ketsi, sorry, they already do nails, bro. Your ideas. Sheldon, what a pleasure, my brother. Before we leave, we're going to close with Mbuzi and the WhatsApp leaks. Hang it.
That's right.
Right. Yes.
What's up, everybody? So, guys, don't be surprised, okay? I rented a hand, so they stole my chain. So, I decided, okay, I'm going to be boss. And I'm gonna have a hand, okay? Check this out. Guys, I need advice. I'm dating this guy who calls himself a Forex mentor. First few weeks were vibes, champagne, expensive dates, and gifts. Now he's always in a trade when I call. He borrowed 3K from me to flip it and said we'd be flying to Dubai. It's been 2 months now. All I have is blue ticks and motivational quotes about patience. So, should I stay or hope for a return on investment? Or should I cash out emotionally? Right? Bye!
Well, so that's Mbuzi the goat.
Yes.
Mbuzi the sheep.
Yes.
Look, you know, I think...
What do you think about that?
Yeah, interestingly, the conversation we're having today about business, you know, unfortunately, and this is not to say, you know, I know some Forex traders who for now seem to have money and everything's going great. I just think that any of these industries where people see this overnight success, where, brah, you know this, oh, he was cutting at Legends Barber now, last week, you understand, and he was puzzling to pay for a haircut, and now he's pulling up in GTI Golf 8. And it's like, no, come and invest with me, come trade with me. I don't know. I don't believe in overnight success.
No, definitely.
You understand what I'm
definitely,
saying?
Definitely. I think there's a Bible verse that says that wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever recoups little by little will be successful.
In the long run.
In the long run,
that's what makes
it. Little by little.
The other thing is, you know what it is, Sheldon?
Yes.
Like, the same communities that we're describing, you know, where Legends comes from. Everybody, including those partners in the beginning who screwed you over, including every relationship you thought you were building that ended in them being disgruntled, envious, jealous.
Yes.
It's because people are looking for quick money.
Yes.
And, you know, me, I'm a people's person. I don't like to cancel people straight away. You know, I like to understand, why are you like this?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not the type to be like, what a cuck. Oh, cancel him. I don't want to speak to you.
Yeah.
I like to understand why is somebody like this. And I think something, I speak about it all the time on the show. A lot of the time, I suppose I'm very harsh.
Yes.
When I speak about people's choices from a moral perspective and from that thing of trying to impress everyone. We have this indoctrination where we want that quick success.
Mm.
I have to pull up in the AMG.
Yes.
I have to pull up in the GTI. Never mind the fact that I can't pay my rent, I owe people money, I've taken people's money to invest in this Forex pyramid scheme that I'm creating. You understand?
So
it's this pursuit of instant gratification.
Yeah.
Mensa must respect me because of what I have, not because of who I am.
Well, not because of who I am. And it's I think that's where you as an individual, you lose yourself because you live your life trying to impress and impose your possessions on other people and not understanding the true value of who you are as a person.
Yes.
And if you're able to distinguish who you are as a person and what you stand for, I don't think you need to impress anyone.
Then what you have doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because you are able to determine, you know what, I'm going to pull up like this, and whether I pull up in my polo or my
whether I pull up in my Uber,
it's fine.
Yes,
but there's a thing, is like the perception of success is wrong, because most of the time the perception that people see of success is based on the material possessions. If you look at, so we've been brainstormed by social media that if you have a certain car, you have a certain house, you have certain watches, you have all of these possessions, but if you ask yourself, are you really successful? And how do you determine success? Success is not determined by what you have. Success is actually determined by who you are and what you do for other people.
100%. I'm with you, my friend. I think when I pulled up today,
yes,
I saw your car.
Yes.
The day that car was delivered, yes, I was there.
You were there.
Yeah, I remember that day. And yes, when I pulled in, it's like in my mind, I was thinking, where's the Lambo? I was like, where's the Urus? Where's the Urus parked? Yes. You know, I was in the phone, Getty, and tell him, open the basement there. This man must park in VIP. Sheldon has the same car, and this is 2 years ago. Has the same car. So even though you can, you don't. You understand? Because why do you need more than that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, it's a nice car.
But it's understanding that the money that you gain is not for self, but it's for a mission. And if you're able to use that money for a mission, God will continue to bless you, because now you become a conduit of God's blessing upon your life. And you're not holding the blessing.
Sure.
You understand? And many of entrepreneurs, once they get the blessing, and we see it happen to many of the guys that fall along the way, is that the blessing comes and it stays with them and it's just hoarded. And they think it's for self. It's for self-enrichment. But not letting it translate and them being a conduit of what to bless other people with.
And we see a lot of it, man. You know, I'm sorry, Forex traders, but I've been talking a lot of cuck about Forex traders in the past months. A lot of the time, it has such a negative reputation. Like I say, I do know some guys, you know what I mean? I won't mention their names, but listen, they make a lot of money doing what they do, you know? And I know them personally, so I know that the money that they're making is real money.
Yes.
I cannot talk to how they are doing it. But so far, so good. The unfortunate part is I also know a lot that appeared exactly the same. And when they crashed very, very hard. And while you're living that life, you're able to rope people in, like the person from our WhatsApp leaks. You'll fall for the illusion. You fall for the tourist attraction. You know, and ladies, this one's for you. You know, I'm a big proponent of your morals. Money must never be able to buy your morals, because you can't get it back.
Yeah.
And if the Forex trader or the rich guy or the baller or whoever it is pulls up and is impressing you with the nice stuff, you know, the shiny things in the beginning, be wary of that. Be vice. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
If you really want to, you'll stick around for a lot longer than a week.
Yeah, because it's...
Yeah, boss. You know, don't confuse effort with value.
Yeah.
You understand? Effort can be made. It's easy to make effort, especially for a short period of time. But it's very difficult to bring value into somebody's life.
And I think that's the most difficult part. Because if you think so true, is because one of the things that we miss was that if you think about parable of the talents and
just it's example, one of my favorite parables.
Parable of the talents. And you're given this opportunity, whether it's time, whether it's whatever it is. So you're given this opportunity, but what are you able to do what God has given unto you? You understand? And some people would look at it from a monetary point of view, but not looking at it from a value point of view, as you said.
Yes.
You see, it's like...
Because the story actually goes that I took these 20 and I came back here as 40 for me to pass on to my dependents. It's not I took these 20, look how much money I made with the 20, here's the 20 back. You know, and I think people confuse that, because we're programmed into thinking that success is what we can show other people.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to be perceived as that guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%.
And hey, dude, I haven't seen it. Look, it's real for a lot. You know, I'm not saying I don't want people to think, like, have stuff. You know what I mean? Enjoy your life. If that's your thing, have the stuff.
Yes.
But make sure the foundation is solid.
The foundation
don't be in a rush to come out and show people all the stuff you have.
Yeah.
The foundation's not solid, because when you lose the stuff, people, there's very same people that are praising you for having it will make you feel super cack when it's gone.
Yes. And yes. The same people that got you there is the same people that will bring you down.
100%.
And you know what the saddest thing is? Because, I mean, like, I have a lot of friends who goes through these journeys, and just being able to learn from them and understanding that when you fly in, just remember that there is a roller coaster ride that you are going to have to come down. And no matter how hard it's going to be, there is going to be that. But how are you able to maintain your values throughout in order for you to not get ahead of yourself? Because many of the times we get ahead of ourselves by doing certain things, taking out the loans, taking out the bonds, taking out all of these things, trying to press people, but not understanding that, you know what, who am I actually doing it for? What am I actually doing it for?
Dude, and people really care more about what others think of them, eh? Than what they think of themselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But Sheldon.
Thank you, my bro.
You the man.
This was
a proper interview. Nice. You must invite me to the founder's chair as soon as I found something. Let me work on founding something. You're like, what us on the founder's chair? What are we talking about?
Yes.
Just cut my hair, dog. Lucky I have a simple haircut. It'll be a very short interview. The interview will start and finish. But my brother, all the best with your journey. I know you're going to continue to just go onwards and upwards. And thank you for all that you do. I think on behalf of everybody watching and behalf of everybody whose life you've impacted, no, we salute you.
Thanks very much. Thanks a lot.
I'm going to come cut there by one of the legends, but I want you to cut my hair. Happy.
Yes.
My brother, go well.
Thank you. Thank
you,
my
family.
Thank you.
You know the story. We're back next week. Remember to like, subscribe, check us out on social media, and take it easy. And if it's easy, don't take it home.